Hello, and welcome to the Shifting Culture Podcast, in which we have conversations about the culture we create and the impact we can make. I'm your host, Joshua Johnson. Go to shiftingculturepodcast.com to interact or donate. Previous guests have included Rich Robinson, Neil Cole, and Mary Ho, and you could go back and listen to those episodes and more. But today's guest is Kath Livesey. Kath leads Accessible Prophecy, working with churches across the world to develop a healthy and mature prophetic culture that both resources discipleship and empowers mission. She is the author of My Sheep Have Ears and The Prophecy Course. Kath and I have a really good conversation around building a prophetic culture, hearing God's voice, and becoming friends with the Holy Spirit. Here's the conversation. Kath, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming. I'm really excited to have you on.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Have you had any God moments lately in your life?
Oh, gosh. Well, in some ways, I feel like I have God moments every day.
Yeah.
They're just kind of little. One of the things that, just dialing back a little bit. So I try and create space every December to do like a mini retreat. And yeah. I don't go anywhere because, you know, there's too much else going on. But we've got quite a long garden, or as you'd say in the States, a backyard.
Yeah.
And at the bottom of it, I've got a greenhouse. I mean, I love gardening. Mm. So, you know, certainly in the summer months, it's my favorite space in the world, you know, to be down the bottom of our garden, pottering around in the greenhouse. But what I've done the last few years is use the month of December and just carve out even just half an hour every day to walk down to the bottom of my garden in snow, rain, hail, yeah, whatever, freezing temperatures. And I'll usually take, you know, a hot mug of tea and a blanket and a hot water bottle and a thick coat. and I'll take all my journals and I'll just have that space. And it's just such a great time at the end of the year to do a little bit of, yeah, looking back, but to create that pause ahead of the new year and to get a sense of what God's saying to me personally, me for my ministry. And out of that time, I then create something on a piece of paper that I can stick on my notice board. So it's like very present. It's there with all sorts of words and perhaps a little bit of imagery, but a sense of, yeah, a key word for me for the coming year, things that I want to focus on in my own discipleship journey. So that's always been wonderful. That's always been really, really helpful. And I think one of the key things that God was gently encouraging me to do this year is to be even more intentional about prayer. You know, one of my key words for this year is prayer. I mean, you know, I think obviously prayer is vital for every disciple of Jesus, you know. I'm not, you know, saying anything new there, but I think that intentionality. And so I set aside certain times in my day where I try and stop whatever I'm doing and I'll pause and I'll pray. And I've got certain key things I'm praying for at those times. I've got crafted prayers. That's something that I've been doing this year, actually just asking the Holy Spirit, what are the very words you want me to pray about this issue, about this person, you know, really hearing God for the very words to pray, knowing that, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is interceding for us, the Holy Spirit's interceding for us. So how can I make sure the words I'm praying are aligned with what heaven is praying? So I'm writing these crafted prayers down and then using these moments of pause throughout the day to pray those, but also just to practice the presence of God, you know, just to do that time of just, Lord, thank you for now. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're with me. You're always with me. And just really engaging in the quiet with the presence of God. Mm. So they're my God moments. And I live for those. I mean, there's sometimes my flesh is not willing. Sometimes, you know, my to-do list is not very willing. But yeah, just carving those times out of my day, it's so life-giving. There's always a battle going on, but they're my God moments. So
it's a beautiful thing to do, especially being intentional and then having those crafted prayers. What does that process for you look like to craft prayers to align your prayers with what, you know, what heaven is praying for what you want. What does the process look like?
Yeah, well, I'll use an example of a very dear friend of mine who's in a senior leadership position. I won't say who it is, you know, just for confidentiality, but she's been going through quite a tough time recently, seeking to make real decisions about the next stage of her life. So I, you know, she's one of those people that I am committed to pray for long term. But over these last few months, I've been really seeking God. You know, I sensed a while ago that there was a particular psalm that he gave me. So just looking at that psalm, asking the Holy Spirit, okay, which are the particular words and phrases and images and concepts from this psalm that you want me to capture in a prayer. So I'd probably, the first thing I'd probably do is just write down a few words, a few thoughts, and then come back to it maybe the next week, just go a little bit deeper, you know, try writing out a few sentences. And as I'm doing that, I'm just having that constant connection with the Holy Spirit. Is this right? Have I got this right? You know, so it's an ongoing process, very much just feeling my way, but seeking for those words that I feel is on heaven's heart for, if I can say that, I don't know if you can say that, but just that heaven is already saying, this is what we're praying for, this friend, I want to join in. So it's not an instant thing. And again, it's that intentionality. So I'm carving out a little bit more time, trying to do that on like a Thursday afternoon, to sit down with my journals, to look at my prayers, you know, having that space. So that's how I've done it for a friend. And you know, doing it for family members, writing crafted prayers for myself. So it's great. So last week, I wrote a crafted prayer for the ministry that I run, Accessible Prophecy, and that was so joyful, just getting a sense of how not just me, but the you know, everybody who's involved with the ministry can be praying this year for the ministry. So that was great. So it takes time, it takes a while, it's intentional, but so much joy to that sense of, wow, this is what Jesus wants us to be praying. You know, it's great. I love it.
It's so, so really good to be intentional and to be able to commune with Holy Spirit. You're actually having dialogue, you're talking, you're hearing from and talking to. A lot of times, I think people have a difficult time discerning whose voice is whose. In the midst of trying to say, okay, God, what are you saying here? How can I hear your voice? What are some things that you have found in your work that really help people start to discern God's voice?
Yeah, absolutely. Huge question. I love answering this question. There are no really, really quick answers. It always starts with our own covenant relationship with God. So knowing who we are as beloved children of our Heavenly Father. So getting ourselves rooted in that truth. And out of that, we see that, well, I don't have to strive to hear God. If God's my Heavenly Father and I'm his beloved child, then of course he delights to speak to me. He wants to speak to me. So I teach people, we don't strive to hear God, rather we rest to hear God. So, you know, we just create, again, that stillness, that pause, that taking a few breaths, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Whatever imagery or words help us, but just to get to that place where we're resting in the love of God.
Yeah.
And for some people that might mean, you know, taking the dog for a walk, you know, in the local park or across the fields. For some of us, it might mean finding that quiet spot in the house, you know, a favorite chair or sitting in the garden. You know, there are lots of different contexts in which we can do that, but it's that covenantal piece of knowing who we are. And then out of that, I think it's interesting because people tend to rush straight away to the guidance piece.
Right.
You know, the reason I have to hear God is that I have to know whether to go right or left. It's a bit like we call them sat navs over here, like what's the device you would call that would tell you which way to go?
Yeah, just we would just use something like Google Maps or the Maps program.
But it's getting away from this sense of God as a GPS device or something like that. But actually, the primary reason I hear God is because he's my father and he's got wonderful things to say to me. You know, I'm a parent. Yeah. And I don't speak to my kids just so that I can tell them what to do. Primarily, I communicate with my kids so I can tell them that I love them. I'm cheering them on. I'm really proud of them. I just delight in them so much. If my only communication with my children was to say, empty the dishwasher, tidy your room, make your bed, do your homework, you know, that's not a very functional relationship. So it's learning, actually, if I'm going to listen to God, am I hearing him for his words of love? And when I ask that question, it's so simple and fundamental, but so many people say, well, I've never actually heard God say that he loves me. So, you know, so it's unpacking that and helping people take steps in that. And of course God wants to tell us, you know, which way to go. He wants to speak to us for guidance, but it all has to be based in that parent-child relationship. It's all about love. It's all about encouragement. I think something else I would say, that the fact that there are a lot of voices out there.
Yep.
So, you know, there's there's the voice of our own, you know, minds, our own soul. There's the voice of social media. You know, there's the voice of the devil. You know, there's all these voices. We live in such a noisy world. You know, there's noise out there all the time, 24/7. So how on earth do we discern which is the voice of Jesus? And again, this is a huge question. You know, we can spend days, weeks, years unpacking that. But something I always say to people is, listen to the voice that's kind, because, you know, the voice of Jesus, it is kind, it's full of life, it's life-giving. It will never cause us to fear. It might sometimes leave us challenged and awestruck, but it's never gonna lead us to feeling condemned or fearful. It's never gonna lead us away from the presence of God. It's always going to take us more and more into the presence of God. So of all these voices, which is the one that is kind, that's affirming, that is just full of life and truth and joy? And that's the one that's most likely to be the voice of Jesus. So
that's so good.
Yeah, that they're just some of the things that
that's really helpful. And it's helpful for me. It's, you know, I've been doing my best to try and teach my 4-year-old to hear from God. And so I ask him times. So can you just ask Jesus what he says about you, and then ask Jesus what he says about me. And oftentimes, you know, when he does that, it's all straight to, he says he loves me, or he says he loves you. Like, it's straight to the, brilliant, he loves you. And I think that's true. And I think that's where we want to get to. And I think my son, you know, yesterday I was playing around with him. I said, you know, who's my favorite son? Out of all the sons in the world, who's my favorite? And he says, it's me. And I said, are you sure it's you? Like, it could be anybody else. He said, no, it's me, because you love me and you like me. And so he's very sure of that, right? He knows that. He knows that I love him, I like him, I want to be around him. And I think that's where we need to get to in our relationship with God. If we get to this belovedness, we're beloved sons or daughters of God, but it's so difficult to get to being beloved. We have so many thoughts in our minds where we're not worthy, we're unworthy, we are, you know, so far from God. How in the world can he even want to be around us? What are some steps to get us to this place of knowing that we're beloved, and being confident in the love that God has for us?
Yeah. And just to say, Joshua, I think I love what you said about your son. And I think for kids, it's almost easier learning mm-hmm. how to hear God. So I'm so glad you're teaching him from a young age, because kids, they, I think by the time you get to an adult, you've accumulated all this stuff, right. all these misconceptions, you know, all this junk. whereas kids, it's often so much easier. But yeah, in terms of getting to that place, I think something that I'll often use is the framework of spiritual children of God versus spiritual orphans, mm-hmm. and just kind of thinking through our attitudes, our thoughts, our feelings, and where am I still maybe thinking a little bit like an orphan? And the thing about an orphan, it's, you know, they feel they have to strive and work towards, you know, they have to be people pleasing, they have to try and please God. It's all striving and works. Whereas a child, a beloved child, knows that they're already secure and established in that relationship, and they never have to strive to please their parents. So I think it is about, you know, very much needing the Holy Spirit's help. But Holy Spirit, just show me if there's any, you know, any mindsets I've got, any attitudes where I'm not really established in that covenant identity as right. your beloved child. And so, you know, it's submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit, because, you know, this is one of the wonderful things he does in our lives. He wants to you know, make us more like Jesus. He wants to grow this belovedness in us, so we have to submit to him. But it's also things like just soaking ourselves in scripture. I think as well, it's one of those things that we really need community. We need people helping us do this. We need churches where they see this as such a key priority.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad that, you know, I spent the last 20 or so years in a church that, you know, almost like the fundamental teaching is covenant and kingdom. So, you know, covenant first, we're all beloved children of a perfect heavenly father. And then it's out of that place then that we can start to think about kingdom. But, you know, if it's all just kingdom,
right.
you know, the danger is people haven't really settled and grounded themselves in their covenant identity. So, yeah, it's part of discipleship, isn't it? It's an ongoing journey. But learning to hear the voice of God is part of it, and encouraging people to listen to those words of love.
That's good. How did you get to a place of being leading Accessible Prophecy? How did you get there saying, hey, this is a need for the body of Christ, and a need to ground ourselves in what does it actually look like to have prophecy in a way that's not that's actually grounded in who God is for us?
Gosh, well, I think I'd have to partly answer that question from a fivefold APES perspective. So I'm assuming most of your listeners would be familiar with the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4. Yeah, don't have to go.
I hope
so. Don't have to go over that too much. So, yeah, from a fivefold perspective, I most closely identify with the role of the prophet. You know, that's my wiring. So I think I've always had this thing in me. You know, I want to connect people with God, I want to listen to God, I want to pursue the presence of God, you know, that the typical prophetic wirings. And I guess, you know, over the years, being in churches that encourage that has been really helpful. So, you know, my own growth. But many years ago, my church leader at the time, it was an interesting conversation, actually, because they were looking for a new children's worker. Mm-hmm. And on paper, I looked pretty good. I was a former classroom teacher. I had 3 kids of my own, you know, committed Christian. So on paper, I looked pretty good. But my church leader at the time, he was very wise and discerning. And he said to me, he said, "Kath, what are you really passionate about?" And straight away I said, "Oh, the presence of God, worship, prayer, you know, all these kind of things." And he said, "I don't think being a children's worker is what you're after. I think you need to start developing the prophetic in our church." And it was that moment that kind of like the light light came on, I thought, yeah, this is what I'm wired for. This is what I really, really want to do. So it was that permissioning, spotting, you know, that calling in me. So I started to go on that journey. What does it like? What does it mean to be a prophetic church? And, you know, read whatever books I could grab hold of. At that time, there weren't that many books actually out there on the prophetic, but just pursued anything I could find that would help me. But yeah, for me, it has always been about how do we do this as a church? And for me, that is a key element of how we keep this ministry grounded and healthy and mature, and recognizing that I think there's something about the prophetic makeup, the prophetic DNA wiring, whatever we call it, that has that tendency towards isolation, towards, you know, being a bit of a lone ranger, finding community quite hard. So yeah, recognizing that a healthy prophetic culture, it is about the community. It's never about just individuals, but it's how we do this together as a church, how we as a whole body recognize that, well, if we want to be like Jesus, you know, part of Jesus was the perfect prophet, you know, so what is it like for all of us to go after this, to embrace it? And part of that, it is about identifying, discipling and deploying fivefold prophets, you know, because they have a particular role to play in any church, and, you know, shaping prophetic culture around them. But it's that corporate piece of, yeah, how do we do this together? How do we create a culture, an environment where as a body we are pursuing the presence of God, we're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, we are committed to prayer and authentic worship, we are seeking to be a prophetic voice in the society around us, we're seeking to reach the marginalized, you know, all these elements of the prophetic. How do we do this as a body? So I think that is such a key question. It's never about kind of, you know, elevating the individual at the expense of the whole body growing in this. And you know, I think so I look at my church now. So I'm a member of St. Thomas's Church Philadelphia in Sheffield in the UK, part of the senior team there. And I over the years, and as my, you know, role has grown, we have, you know, as a church, we've pursued many things. We've definitely gone after discipleship, and which has been fantastic. We've gone after the prophetic, we've gone after mission, and we have also sought to be a church that serves the poor, you know, those people experiencing poverty. And I think, yeah, again, from a fivefold perspective, if all we go after is the prophetic, that's not a healthy culture, you know. It's having the fivefold perspective. So we can only grow a healthy prophetic culture to the extent that we're also growing a healthy apostolic, evangelistic, shepherding and teaching culture, because the five are meant to go together. And actually, if I came across a church where it was all about the prophetic, to me,
there are some of those churches out there.
Are some of those churches out there, but for me, that's not a healthy and holistic prophetic culture. So it's about the fivefold. It's about, yeah, we're all doing this together. It's about discipleship. And, you know, for me, this is absolutely key. We can only grow a healthy prophetic culture if we've got the foundation of a high, healthy discipleship culture, because with discipleship comes accountability. Now, oh, goodness me, accountability is so key for the prophetic. And discipleship, you know, it's primarily, at the end of the day, discipleship is about hear and obey. I hear and I obey, you know. Releasing people to know what Jesus is saying to them, and supporting them so they can walk out into obedience. So I think having, you know, we're a church that for the last 30 years we've been seeking, you know, going after discipleship. So that has created such a firm foundation on which to grow a prophetic culture. So we absolutely go for the prophetic. You know, we pursue it, we seek it, we love it, we encourage it, we seek to use the prophetic in all sorts of ways in our church. But it's got this really strong foundation of discipleship, which just keeps everything really, really healthy.
I think that's good to keep it healthy. What does an unhealthy prophetic culture look like so that we could balance it out a little bit, know where, hey, if we're going off the rails a little bit, this is where we're going off the rails. What does unhealthy prophetic look like?
Yeah, well, I it wouldn't have accountability. Mm-hmm. and I think you don't have to look too far, unfortunately, to see prophetic ministries where there isn't that level of accountability. So yeah, and you know, one of the things that I've had to learn time and time again is that I will never have like the 360 degree understanding of what God is saying. You know, I right. need other people walking alongside me. You know, so my husband is a fivefold apostle, and just, you know, conversations I have with him when I, yeah, this is what I think God's saying, but having his perspective is so helpful. So yeah, accountability, you know, if we haven't got accountability, I think submission to leadership, I mean, you know, good, healthy, robust submission is important. Unhealthy prophetic culture, as I said, it would be elevating those prophets, you know, putting them on such a pedestal that, you know, that they can say what they want and nobody's going to challenge it. You know, we always have to be able to bring healthy channel, a challenge. And alongside that, an unhealthy prophetic culture would be one where people don't know how to weigh and discern. You know, the New Testament makes it very clear that all prophecy has to be weighed and tested and discerned. So, yeah, we have to teach people how to do that. People don't automatically know how to do it. So we have to teach people what that looks like. So unhealthy prophetic culture would be a lack of discernment, a lack of weighing and testing. And, you know, there's such a danger, isn't there, of, you know, if the leader says something, well, it must be true.
Right.
If our, you know, major prophetic voice says something, it must be true. But everything has to be weighed and tested. And I think, I don't know, you can just feel and you just pick up on unhealthiness. You know, there's a lack of humility, there's a lack of gentleness. I think just sitting and looking at all the ways in which Jesus was just this perfect ultimate prophet, you know, if it doesn't feel Jesus-y, then, you know, alarm bells start to ring. And I think as well, a lack of a balance between what we call, you know, vertical prophetic and horizontal prophetic. So, you know, Alan Hirsch writes about that in the 5Q book. I'm just in the process of finishing off my own book that's coming out soon about the prophetic. And I talk a lot in that book about, you know, in scripture, we see this, see really clearly that the prophetic, it's got this vertical dimension, first of all, which, you know, is pursuing the presence of God, worship, prayer, you know, hearing God for personal transformation. Yeah. But there's also this very strong horizontal theme in prophetic literature, you know, in the prophetic expression in the Bible, which is about God's concerns in the world around us, you know, so the prophetic call to social justice, being a prophetic voice in society, being prepared to challenge the status quo. So I would say an unhealthy prophetic culture is one that is all about the vertical or all about the horizontal and hasn't got that balance. You know, we need balance. So I'm really pleased that for my church in Sheffield, you know, yes, we've gone after the vertical, we're very strong in the vertical, but we've also over the years built this amazing ministry called Restore Ministries, which seeks to reach out to the, you know, the the least, the last, the lost in Sheffield, you know, people experiencing poverty, asylum seekers, refugees, you know, we run food banks, we run all sorts of incredible things. And helping the church see that this is as much part of our prophetic ministry as our lovely worship services and prayer meetings and, you know, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, they're just, a, I hope that helps answer the question.
Yeah, that helps a lot. I mean, and it really helps to see the difference and the correlation between the vertical and the horizontal prophetic that, you know, if we're going after the least, last, and lost, it should lead us straight back into our covenant relationship with God, back into prayer and worship and saying, okay, God, what are you doing? How are you doing this? And like lifting those people up and, you know, prayer and worship should always go after the lost. You know, where, you know, Jesus himself said, I came to seek and save the lost, right? That was what he came for. And so part of what we do is that if we're worshiping and we're hearing from God, he's saying, okay, there's some lost people, go. And it's not just, don't just stay here. I want you to go after the people that I'm going after. So that's really good, beautiful. What does it look like for a church saying, okay, oh, I finally just realized that we actually don't have much of a prophetic culture in our church. We're not seeing it. It's not communal. We just have a few wayward prophets off to the side, and we don't know what to do with them. What are some steps that we could take, a church could take, to start to build a prophetic culture?
Wow. Well, yes, there are lots of aspects to this. I mean, to be honest, if you get in touch with Accessible Prophecy, we've got some great training. I don't know if I'm allowed to throw in a little
plug. Yes, you are. But... So that's exactly what you do. You just go to Accessible Prophecy, you get some training, and then you build a prophetic culture.
Absolutely. Because part of our, as a ministry, we have a twofold vision. So the first part of that is to help every single follower of Jesus learn how to hear his voice. But the second part of the vision is to help every single church grow a healthy prophetic culture. And that second part actually is the more challenging, because it's easy working with individuals, but actually taking a church, a whole church, and talking about culture change can be, it can be quite challenging. But, I love doing it. And I'm convinced that every single expression of the body of Christ around the world can go on this journey and grow a healthy prophetic culture. You know, so we work with all sorts of denomination streams, flavors of the church. I think one of the key things, one of the starting points, is we have to think through language and the language that we're going to use. There's that familiar saying, language creates culture. And recognizing that, we're working out what's the best language to use here, because there can be quite unhelpful language. And depending on the type of church it is, depending on, you know, the type of culture it is, certain words can actually act as red flags and be quite unhelpful. So, you know, I work with churches, I work with people for whom even words like prophet and prophecy are quite negative. You know, they have negative connotations. And if that's the case, then, well, what language would be much more helpful? So rather than talking about prophecy, we can talk about listening prayer. You know, that's often a much safer language to use. Very few people would have issues with the idea of listening prayer. So working out what's going to be the best language to use here. I think that's a really key step. I think part of the journey of developing a healthy prophetic culture, it is about having the fivefold conversation, having the APES conversation, and just casting a vision that this is for the church today. All these gifts are for the church, but it's not just for individuals. You know, we as a church can go after an apostolic culture, prophetic culture, evangelistic, shepherding, teaching culture. So I think that's a really good starting point as well. And then from that, you can have the conversation. Well, you know, in our church of 100, 200, 500,000 people, you know, Jesus will have shaped some of us prophetically. Mm-hmm. So how going on that journey as a church of helping everybody work out how they are shaped from a fivefold point of view, and then starting to gather together your fivefold prophets, some of whom probably have never had any clue all their lives that actually they're a prophet. I mean, that's one of the things I love doing, you know, helping people realize that, wow, this is me, this is how Jesus has made me to be. It's incredible. And then looking about how we can start to disciple them and how we can release them and deploy them to be the blessing that Jesus has designed them to be. And a big part of that is releasing and deploying them to shape the culture. So that would be something as well. And then just, you know, looking at what sort of, you know, teaching would be really helpful to bring here. But always the message we are sending out there is this is for everybody. This is not an exclusive ministry just for a few super spiritual people. This is for everybody. Everybody can learn how to hear God for themselves. And I think as leaders, there's something really key about, am I prepared to model this? Am I prepared to go on this journey myself? And I think in many ways, you know, if a senior leader isn't a fivefold prophet, that's brilliant, because they can then just be really open and honest about the journey that they themselves are going on. You know, okay, I'm wired as a teacher, but as, you know, as a disciple of Jesus, I want to learn more about the prophetic. I want to dive deep into what Jesus says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. You know, I want to learn how to hear Jesus's voice. And being really transparent as a leader and sharing testimony and sharing the ups and downs and, you know, just standing up on a Sunday and saying, well, I stepped out a little bit this week and I sat down and I listened to God for my next door neighbor and God gave me this. And, you know, just sharing those stories, making it normal, making it down to earth, trying to demystify it. And recognize, I think it's so important to recognize that I'm probably biased, but of the fivefold, I think the prophetic is the one that's least understood. The apostolic, you know, maybe, but I think there are so many misconceptions about the prophetic. You know, people hear the word prophet and they associate it with a particular stereotype, Old Testament stereotype, you know, prophet of doom, the prophet of judgment. So
or somebody that just eats locusts and
absolutely, you know. And to be honest, you know, even today there are not, you know, there are some really unhelpful examples of prophets around, you know. So it's demystifying it, it's making it normal. How do we normalize hearing God's voice, and then how can we bring this listening prayer, this perspective, into all aspects of church life? So what would it look like before a service? We gather to pray before a Sunday service, but what would it look like if we just, you know, sat or stood there in silence for 5 minutes and just said, Holy Spirit, what are you saying about our service today? You know, in senior leadership meetings, rather than going straight into the agenda, okay, what would it look like if we all just sat and listened to God for 5 minutes? You know, so there's all sorts of ways that we can bring this in. You know, we've taught our kids how, within our church, we've taught our kids how to hear God's voice. We've prophesied over the business leaders in our church. Yeah. We've prophesied over families. You know, it's a wonderful gift.
Yeah,
we all learn to do it. We just need to normalize it and demystify it. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to do that across the board as a whole church and as a whole community is really important. You know, this last fall, our church, you know, we meet in homes 3 times a week and then we meet all together once a month. And usually what happens is, you know, the lead team comes and creates some home church resources that people could use. And, you know, we follow something and here's the scripture for the day and, you know, discuss that. But in the fall, what we did was said, okay, we're not going to give anybody any resources. And you're just going to sit and wait and listen to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit take shape what's going to happen in the home. And it was a beautiful thing all across the city. We had people in homes that were hearing from God. Some people brought songs. Some people brought a word. Some people brought scripture. Sometimes we prophesied over people. We needed to pray for people. There was all sorts of incredible expressions of what God was doing because we gave space for him. And yeah. Oftentimes we don't give space to hear from God and let him lead us and guide us. And it's kind of a little bit of hubris to say, hey, I'll write the plan and this is how we're going to do God work.
Yeah.
Instead of being humble and saying, hey, God, you lead.
Yeah. It's about creating the pause. And we can do that, you know, on a very small scale throughout our day, you know, just creating a little bit of pause. I was talking about that, you know, earlier, but how do we do that as a church? How do we create the space? And I think if I could mention one more thing about, you know, culture and just bouncing off what you said, Joshua, I think teaching people who the Holy Spirit is, you know, creating a church culture of friendship, relationship, fellowship with the Holy Spirit is absolutely key. Yeah. You know, it's one of my favorite things to talk about, to teach about, because I think, again, there are so many misconceptions out there. People, you know, I've coached and trained people who have never had any teaching on the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They're very wary. You know, he's the third person of the Trinity.
Yeah.
And he's given to us.
Yeah, he's the one with us.
He's with us. Yeah. He's here. To quote, I think it's Brian Cook, he's the resident genius of heaven. Mm. He has the answer to every question we could possibly ask. He has a solution to every problem we face.
Yeah.
So it's just shifting people's mindsets and experience so that, well, if Holy Spirit's here, I can ask him. He's my friend. You know, he's the other friend. He's the one that Jesus said, it's better that I go back to the Father so I can send you the other friend. And, you know, it's one of the greatest joys of my walk as a disciple, just discovering the riches of my, the potential, the joy of relationship with Holy Spirit. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, if we're talking about culture change, growing a healthy prophetic culture, a key part of that is, you know, enabling everybody to develop that close personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. So give us one little mind shift or something that we need to do to create a friendship with Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well, I think it's simple, but it's that intentionality to bring him into your day-to-day life. So even just at the start of every day, saying, you know, it's a bit cheesy, but even like, good morning, Holy Spirit. You know, I'm at the beginning of every day, I try and say, you know, Holy Spirit, I just want more of you. I start the day by saying, Father, I thank you that, you know, you give, scripture says you give the Spirit without limit. Please fill me today to the very brim. And just kind of honoring him and remembering he's here. And, you know, a key part of that is choosing to submit to the Holy Spirit, because he is the best friend we could possibly imagine. And you read through the New Testament and see all the incredible things he does in the life of the disciple. It is amazing. But the other side of the coin is that as Jesus models for us in the Gospels, we are to follow the Holy Spirit. You know, we are to keep in step with him. So there's that discipleship pattern of, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm handing the car keys over to you today. I want you to be in the driving seat, and choosing to listen out for his little prompts and nudges throughout the day, because he doesn't tend to shout really loud. You know, he'll just give you those little nudges. That's, oh, right, okay, you want me to stop what I'm doing and go and do this now. Okay. And so, choosing to follow him, just praying every day, Holy Spirit, I want to keep in step with you today. So I think it's just building that kind of relationship into the day-to-day pattern of our lives.
That's so good. That's so good. I hope everybody will take that and start to build that friendship, relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's going to transform your life.
It really is. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I have a really big vision, and I think I would always encourage people to have a big vision for their life, for their family, for the church, for their ministry. You know, the kingdom is a place of big visions. But at the end of the day, it's about a daily walk with the Lord. So it's big vision, but small, obedient steps.
Yeah.
And we can have the biggest vision in the world, but if we're not making that daily choice to, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm following you today, then those visions will never be realized, or they'll get muddied and dirted and messed up.
Yeah.
So yeah, big vision, but small, obedient steps every day.
Excellent. So good. Well, Kath, I have a couple questions
at
the end. Number one is, if you go back to your 21-year-old self, what advice would you give?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh. I think it would be something about the Holy Spirit. I think when I was 21, I was just learning about the Holy Spirit. I think it would just be, go for it, run, pursue relationship. So no fear, just run and keep in step with the Spirit of Almighty God. Yeah.
Nice. And beautiful. Anything you've been reading or watching lately that you could recommend?
Oh, gosh. Now, I'm an introvert processor, so you should have asked me. What have I read? I tell you what. Now, this it's a book that I bought years ago, and as a ministry, as a team, as a global team, we've been thinking a lot about prayer. We've been thinking also a lot about spiritual warfare, recognizing that, you know, the enemy's strategy is to stop the children of God hearing God's voice. You know, the enemy does not want Christians to hear the voice of Jesus, because he knows he knows what will happen if every Christian could hear the voice of God really clearly. He knows that's not going to be good news for the kingdom of darkness. So we, you know, as a ministry, we've been talking a lot about prayer, about how we pray for each other, how we pray prayers of protection, how we engage in spiritual warfare, recognizing the nature of the battle we're in. And I've been looking for some really good resources on spiritual warfare, knowing that there's a mixture of stuff out there. And I found a book that I had to kind of search for it a little bit in the depths of one of my bookcases. And it came out probably about 15 years ago. It's called Our Eyes Fixed on Jesus, A Sideways Look at Spiritual Warfare by Guy Chevreau. I don't know if is it Guy or Guy? Guy Chevreau. And I've read that in the last few weeks, and I'm going to reread it. And it's so helpful. What I love about it is, it's looking at spiritual warfare, spiritual conflict. But it's that reminder that actually the main thing we do is just keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep worshiping Jesus. We keep praying to Jesus. The devil's there, but we don't have to fear. Yeah. There are strategies that we can engage. You know, there's some really good biblical strategies. But at the end of the day, we just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We sing our worship to Jesus, and the devil will go away. So that's a very simplified version of it, but I found that such a really good book to revisit in recent weeks.
Yeah, I love it. When when is your new book going to come out?
That's a good question. I've been ploughing through the edits for the last few months. Hopefully sometime later this year. Yeah.
Okay, great. Great. And now you have another book that people could check out That's already out.
Yes, it's called My Sheep Have Ears. You can find it on Amazon and places like that. And yeah, it's a great book for anybody perhaps just starting off, you know, what does it mean to hear God's voice? So it's really good for the beginner, but it's also good for people who've been pursuing the prophetic for years and years and years. But it's largely focused on our individual growth, how everybody and anybody can learn to pursue hearing God's voice, pursue prophetic ministry. My new book is more about what it means to be a prophetic church. So it's more of the kind of big picture. How do we do this as a church? So My Sheep Have Ears, you'll be able to find it if you Google it.
Excellent. And then people can connect with you at accessibleprophecy.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And we do all sorts of training, coaching, resources, webinars, you know, there's lots of resources on the website, and you can contact me at any time via email. You know, there's an email address on the website as well. No matter which time zone you're in, we've got people around the world who can connect with you and offer some fantastic training, whether you're an individual wanting to learn more or whether you're a church. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, Kath, it was a privilege to talk to you. It was so good. It made me want to go and hang out with Holy Spirit. So that's, I think you did
that's
your job.
Great.
So that was
Thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a joy. Thanks, Joshua.
Thank you for listening to the show today. If you're really enjoying the show, please don't forget to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast app. You could do it right now. Just hit that little plus. And then I would love it if you would leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. So you could go right now to the show and leave a star rating and review and let us know how you are enjoying the show. And find us on Facebook and Instagram. So if you want to connect, interact, I post a lot of quotes and different things that you could actually interact with the episodes and let me know how you are enjoying the show. If you feel inclined to donate, there is a support the show link in the show notes, and it would send you directly to a page where you could donate so that new episodes can be produced for your enjoyment. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have an incredible week.